Thanks for y'all's patience, and thanks to you guys. We have a great technical crew here. When things happen that are unexpected, they fix it very quickly. So we're very grateful to all you guys have been doing recently. Well, between series, we have the pleasure of studying Psalms, and we're going to do that today. So you can open up your Bibles to Psalm 112. What we fear usually rules us. What we fear determines our path through life, where we go, where we don't go, what we do, and what we don't do. Now, I was a pretty scared little kid, particularly at bedtime, and I actually had every reason to be. So there were the pirates that were in my closet that wanted to kidnap me and take me onto their ship so I could never actually open the door to my closet at night. And then, of course, there were the monsters that were under my bed. And so I actually set up a chair in my room so I could stand on my bed, jump to the chair, and then jump into the bathroom where I'd be safe because everyone knows monsters don't like tile. And then there was the orangutan. Now, I was very sure that he was going to crawl up the downspout and get on the balcony that was off my room and grab me. And the reason I knew that is because I actually saw a picture of it in Edgar Allan Poe's Murders on the Rue Morgue. What we fear usually rules us. What we fear determines the path that we take through life, where we go, where we don't go, what we do and what we don't do. That's why, brothers and sisters, it is vital that we fear the Lord. Because that is a fear that will set us on the path of delighted obedience, of God-empowered imitation, of generous blessedness, even when facing obstacles that are in our path. So let's read, and we're going to begin in Psalm 111, verse 10, and then Psalm 12. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Those who practice it have good understanding. His praise endures forever. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. His offspring will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Light dawns in the darkness for the upright. He is gracious, merciful, and righteous. It is well with the man who deals generously and lends, who conducts his affairs with justice. For the righteous will never be moved. He will be remembered forever. He's not afraid of bad news. His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. His heart is steady. He will not be afraid until he looks in triumph on his adversaries. He has distributed freely. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn is exalted in honor. The wicked man sees it and is angry. He gnashes his teeth and melts away. The desires of the wicked will perish. Well, Psalm 111 and Psalm 12 are actually a set. Psalm 111 speaks of the works and the character of God, and Psalm 112 speaks to the works and the character of the person who fears God. So, Father, I pray as we study this wonderful psalm that you would help us to understand the fear of the Lord and understand the benefits that come as we rightly and biblically fear you. So, Holy Spirit, I need your grace. Your hearers need your grace. Come, please, give us grace now. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the first part of this psalm enumerates the blessings that come to the person who fears the Lord. In Psalm 111:10, the psalmist wrote, "Blessed is he who fears the Lord. It is the beginning of wisdom." Now, we know that biblically, wisdom is a moral quality, not an intellectual one. So the person who fears the Lord is set on a moral path in their life. And because of that, verse 1, blessed is the man who fears the Lord. Now, we need to ask, so what does it mean to fear the Lord? In essence, it means this. It means to relate to him for who he is in relation to who we are. The more we understand the glory and the worth and the perfections of God in relation to our sinfulness and our neediness, the more we will understand and appreciate and rightly fear the Lord. And more than that, that we will be the kind of people like the psalmist whose first thought is, praise the Lord whom we are blessed to fear. And we will be the kind of people who will, as it says in Psalms 111:2, greater the works of the Lord studied by all who delight in them. And then in Psalm 112:1, those who greatly delight in his commandments. Taken together, they mean that God's works and God's word are the delight of the one who fears him. Obeying and imitating God aren't grudging, they aren't reluctant, but obeying and imitating God are delightful. Charles Spurgeon said it so well. He said, for the one who fears the Lord, holiness is happiness, devotion is delight, and truth is his treasure. So then the psalmist goes on to enumerate these blessings. Now, before we study a psalm like this, we need to understand two things about it. This is a wisdom psalm, so it's very much like Proverbs. And Proverbs, we need to understand, aren't ironclad promises. Proverbs are just expressions of how things generally work in God's world. So we need to understand that. Secondly, we need to understand that in the Old Testament, the signs of God's favor are largely temporal. That when the gospel brought life and immortality to light, while not denying temporal blessings, the gospel reorients us towards more spiritual and eternal things that actually help us to understand the blessings we're going to look at here and to keep them in the right perspective. So, the blessings, verse 2, his offspring will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. And upright here is just another way to describe the person who fears the Lord, the person who delights in his commandments. Being a God-fearing parent is the greatest blessing that you could ever give to your children. Your example, your teaching are of greater worth to your children than any material blessing that you could ever give them. And again, while this isn't an ironclad promise that your children will be saved, it is a strong encouragement that God honors a parent's character when it comes to his children, that there is a likelihood, might be later, might be sooner, but there is a likelihood that the children of a godly parent, a parent who obeys and imitates God, will obey and imitate their parents in their love for God. And the effect isn't that they'll be mighty in the land, that they will somehow take over politics and just straighten everything out in their country. But the effect for us is they will be mighty in the church. That will be a multi-generational church where parents and their children worship together and serve together. And the church's future is strengthened because parents and children together who fear the Lord will be mighty in the church. The next blessing in verse 3, wealth and riches. Now, this isn't a promise that every Christian will be a Jeff Bezos or a Warren Buffett or a Bill Gates or any of the many Walmart Waltons. This is a promise of God's provision for his people's needs. That as promised in Philippians, that he will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ. And because of that, his righteousness endures forever. In other words, the blessings of God aren't simply temporal, and they are not temporary. There's a lasting wealth and a lasting riches for the person who fears the Lord. It's what Peter talks about in 1 Peter 1:4 when he tells us about an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfailing, kept in heaven for you. The third blessing we find is in verse 4, that light dawns in darkness for the upright. And this is a promise of guidance for the people of God, that through the word and through the spirit, in the confusion of life, in the perplexities of life, when we don't know what to think and we don't know what to do, that God shows his people the way. And then he is gracious. He, meaning the person who fears the Lord, is gracious, merciful, and righteous. Now, sometimes we can read these things and think, well, that's unconnected. What's the connection between these two things? And the connection is simply this. Though we don't always know what to think and what to do, we can always know how to act. We can always know what character qualities are important to display in every situation, that we can always, in every circumstance, imitate God in his graciousness. We can imitate God in his mercy, and we can imitate God in his righteousness. So light dawns in the darkness for the upright. And then verse 5, it is well with the man who deals generously and lends, who conducts his affairs with justice. The psalmist here is speaking of the way a person who fears the Lord conducts their worldly affairs. That the person who fears God is a person of integrity in their affairs, a person who models God in their relationships with others, in business, and in their community. And then in verses 6 through 8, for the righteous will never be moved. Some versions say shaken. They are not afraid of bad news. Their hearts are firm. Their hearts are steady. They will not be afraid. And the Psalms are full of these types of assurances, aren't they? That God is our rock, that God is our fortress, that God is our shield, that God is our stronghold, that we can abide under the shelter of God's wings, that because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. And because of that, he will look on in triumph on his adversaries. Now, our adversaries could be people or they could be things, but whatever opposes God's people will not ultimately triumph over them because of the blessings that come to the person who fears the Lord. And then he will be remembered forever. Scripture has a lot to say about the value of a good name, a lot to say about the value of a good reputation. So, if you want to be remembered for something, if you want to have a lasting legacy in life, be remembered for this. Be remembered for godly character. Let it be remembered that you were gracious and merciful and righteous. Let it be remembered that you were generous and just. Let it be remembered that you were rich in faith and in faithfulness. Let it be remembered that you were one who delighted to study God's works and delighted in keeping his commandments. And let it be remembered that you were a person who feared the Lord. Blessings enumerated. And then throughout the psalm, the psalmist talks about blessings extended. The purpose of God's blessings in our life are always to be a blessing to others. That's another result of fearing the Lord, that we become a blessing to others. The one who fears the Lord is never a hoarder of blessings. Let me just receive all the blessings that I can and keep all the blessings that I can. The person who fears the Lord is always a sharer of blessings, is order a person who blesses others. We saw in verse 5, he's gracious and merciful and righteous. In verse 6, he deals generously and lends. In verse 6 again, he conducts his affairs with justice. But then also in verse 9, we find this, that he has distributed freely, that he has given to the poor. Throughout Scripture, God takes special note of and care for the poor. We actually saw this several times in our series in James. And I noted earlier how the person who fears the Lord will imitate the Lord in his works and in his character. And this is no exception, that God's special concern for the poor becomes our special concern for the poor. I am so grateful to our deacons who have helped us over time, but particularly at this time, to know the opportunities that we can have to serve the poor in our community. And again, especially in this time of COVID-19, when many people have lost their jobs, when there are many school children who lost school breakfasts and school lunches that they actually counted on, and now that blessing for them is gone. And we will increasingly have these kinds of opportunities to help in our community, and particularly we're going to have these kinds of opportunities to help people right here in Crossway, right here in our own local church. And so this week's coming videos are going to be featuring ways that we can do just that, that as people who fear the Lord, we will be distributing freely and we will be giving to the poor. So there are many blessings that the psalmist enumerates for the person who fears the Lord. There are many blessings that this person extends. But then there are also troubles experienced. And we don't want to miss this, because fearing the Lord and experiencing his blessings doesn't guarantee us a trouble-free life. That even with these blessings, there are still, like I said, obstacles in our path. And again, we saw this in verse 4. Sometimes we experience darkness. You know, we use the term dark days. And dark days has a couple meanings. It references the circumstances and the difficulties that we're facing in a particular time. But dark days also has reference to just the perplexity that we can experience in those days, or the doubt that we can experience, or the discouragement, or the depression that we can experience in those days. The person who fears the Lord isn't immune from darkness in their lives. Sometimes we get bad news. The person who fears the Lord isn't exempt from sorrows in their life. And sometimes we face adversaries. People and things oppose us. In fact, the devil himself opposes us. But this is the good news of the psalm. If you fear the Lord, you need not fear anything else. If you are a person who fears the Lord, you need not fear anything else. Because if you fear the Lord, you will live trusting in the Lord. If you fear the Lord, you won't fear bad news. You won't live your life thinking, oh, what's the next shoe to drop, or what's the next bad thing that's going to happen to me? If you fear the Lord, you will never be moved. You're blessed in a way that no trouble, no darkness, no bad news, no adversaries can ever touch. And then, after all the blessings expounded and extended, even in the midst of troubles that we might experience, the psalm ends with a contrast. And this is actually very typical of Proverbs and wisdom literature, where it says this one person will be that, but then the opposite of that thing. And this particular psalm is no different. So in verse 10, as the psalmist closes, he contrasts the person who fears the Lord with the wicked man. The wicked man sees it and is angry. He gnashes his teeth and melts away. The desires of the wicked will perish. So the wicked person hates all of this. The wicked person is angry that the person who fears the Lord is treated in this way, that person's righteousness endures forever, that person will never be moved, that person will be remembered forever, while the wicked person melts away, that the wicked will perish. Now, brothers and sisters, I can never read one of these types of contrasts without thinking this: hey, wait a minute. At one point in time, that was me. At one point in time, I'm the person that the psalmist is talking about in verse 10. In Romans 3:18, as Paul is unpacking the unbeliever and what that person is like, he says in verse 18, there is no fear of God before their eyes. There was no fear of God before my eyes, before I trusted in the Lord. So the question is, how did I go from there to here? How did I go from that place to this place? Well, the answer is a very simple one. The answer is the gospel. I went from there to here through the sacrificial death and the life-giving resurrection of Jesus. That through the gospel, a godly fear was implanted in my heart, and I've been given the responsibility over time to cultivate that fear and to mature in that fear. Christopher Ashe wisely said this: there is only one man who qualifies for the blessings of this psalm. That through the gospel, Jesus' blessedness becomes our blessedness. That through the gospel, Jesus' righteousness becomes our righteousness. And like his righteousness, ours is a righteousness that endures forever. So, Father, I pray that, like the psalmist, you would help us to increasingly cultivate the fear of the Lord in our lives, have increasing delight in studying his works and increasing delight in his commandments and obedience, that we would experience increasing grace to obey and to imitate him, so that we might not only receive your gracious blessings, but that we might be those who generously extend those blessings to others. Father, we thank you for that. We're grateful for that. In Jesus' name, amen.